There may be no story in Scripture more deeply human than the story unfolding in the garden. Not because it explains ancient history, but because it explains us. Every human being who has ever lived knows what it feels like to hide, to fear exposure, to cover ourselves, to wonder if we could still be loved if we were truly seen. And perhaps that is why the next movement in Genesis becomes one of the most profound moments in all of Scripture, a moment that quietly sets the stage for the entire gospel story. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, she took of its fruit and ate, and also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened. The story changes in a single moment. The fruit is taken. Adam receives it. And suddenly humanity sees differently. But the text does not say humanity suddenly became evil. It says their eyes were opened. And the very first thing humanity becomes aware of is shame. And they knew that they were naked. That line is far deeper than it first appears. The first fracture in the human story is not violence, hatred, or murder. It is shame, exposure, self-consciousness, fear. And what is humanity's first response after shame enters the story? Hiding. They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Humanity begins covering itself, and we have been doing it ever since. Perhaps you know this feeling. The exhausting effort of trying to hold yourself together while quietly fearing that if anyone truly saw you, they might turn away. Humanity has been hiding among the trees ever since. Some hide behind religion, success, endless good works, wealth, knowledge, addiction, lust, humor, anger, or carefully crafted images of themselves. Some hide so deeply in shame that they begin destroying themselves entirely. But beneath all of it is often the same ancient fear. If I am fully seen, will I still be loved? And yet the next movement in the story changes everything. And they heard the voice of Yahweh God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Notice carefully what the story does not say. It does not say God withdrew from humanity. It says humanity hid from God. Adam and Eve are hiding among the trees, covering themselves, terrified and ashamed. And God comes walking toward them, not away from them, toward them. And yet, something fascinating happens in the story. God had warned, "In the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." And yet, after the fruit is taken, God still comes walking through the garden calling for them. The relationship is fractured. Shame has entered. Fear has awakened. But the voice still comes. They recognized the voice immediately. This was not the approach of a stranger. This was the voice they had always known. The voice approaching them is not the source of shame. It is the answer to it. And then comes one of the most heartbreaking and beautiful questions in all of Scripture. Where are you? Not accusation, not condemnation, not rejection. It was the voice of love crying out for the beloved. The beloved were hiding from love itself. Where are you? Not because God lacked information, but because relationship had been fractured. God was not walking through the garden searching for strangers. He was calling for the ones he loved. And Adam answers with words that still echo through every human soul. I was afraid, so I hid. Fear enters the relationship. Not because God changed, but because humanity's perception became fractured through shame. And perhaps this is still the tragedy of mankind. Not merely that we sin, but that shame drives us away from the very presence that can heal us. The deepest human problem was never merely sin itself. It was that shame taught humanity to run from the very God who was still calling for them. That is the fracture. Not merely that Adam ate the fruit, but that Adam hid from the one who loved him. Which means the very presence Adam fears is actually the only place healing can be found. And perhaps that is still the great tragedy of humanity. Not merely that we fail, but that we continue hiding from the one who is still pursuing us. Religion often unknowingly reinforces this hiding. It tells people to clean themselves first, fix themselves first, become worthy first, stop failing first, and then come to God. But the garden reveals the opposite movement. God comes walking into humanity's failure. God moves toward the hiding humans. God calls before Adam ever speaks a word of repentance. The voice comes first. The calling comes first. The pursuit comes first. This is not merely Adam's story. It is ours. The serpent's voice still whispers, "Hide, cover yourself, withdraw. You are no longer safe in love," and humanity still listens. Yet through all of history, another voice continues to call. Not the voice of shame, not the voice of accusation, not the voice of the serpent, the voice walking in the garden, calling, seeking, pursuing. And this is where the story becomes almost too beautiful for words. Because the God calling through the trees eventually steps directly into the very condition humanity entered in the garden. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. At some point, theology gives way to awe, because what kind of God does this? The God walking through the garden eventually allows himself to be stripped naked before humanity, mocked, rejected, shamed publicly. Adam hides his nakedness. Christ bears nakedness publicly. Adam hides among the trees. Christ is lifted upon a tree. Adam runs from God in shame. God enters shame himself to bring Adam home again. The cross was not God finally deciding to love humanity. It was the fullest revelation of the love that had already been pursuing humanity since the garden. The deepest tragedy in the garden was not merely that humanity sinned. It was that humanity became afraid of the one who loved them most. And still he comes, still calling, still pursuing, still loving. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Not merely the pain, the shame. Because shame is unbearable to the human soul. It tells us to hide ourselves, cover ourselves, withdraw, and believe we are no longer safe in love. But Jesus entered directly into humanity's shame in order to destroy its hold, to open the way home again, to reveal that the voice in the garden was never our enemy. It was always the voice of the Father calling his children home. Sin did not cause God to abandon humanity. Sin caused humanity to hide from God. Yet even then, the voice still walked through the garden, still calling, still pursuing, still loving. The question is no longer whether God is willing to come near. The question is, will we continue hiding among the trees? Or will we finally answer the voice calling our name? Because perhaps salvation is, at least in part, the moment a human finally stops hiding long enough to answer the voice calling in the garden.